We had a special today, but she's not here, so we'll have to forego our special today. Sister Hannah, you're not here, are you? Okay.
It's good to be back in the house of the Lord again today, and it is indeed good to see all of you. We appreciate the presence of everyone, and I want to say on behalf of the church that we're glad that for every visitor that's here, and we hope that you'll feel welcome and feel free in the service of the Lord. It seems like I've been here before. But I do need your prayers this morning. The Lord has blessed me, and I've made great progress. I'm off of the oxygen now, have been since Tuesday, and I brought a jug with me just in case today. And it's not because of weak faith, it's because of the weak body. The church asked me if I would officiate today at this service. It is a time when we observe the Lord's Supper, remember His great sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. And I'm honored, and yet I'm humbled. I've had the privilege of serving the Lord's Supper here at Fairview Memorial 55 times. This will be my 56th time to observe, to administer the Lord's Supper. And perhaps this will be my last time. I wasn't expecting this to do it this time. I thought we'd have a pastor by now and that he would be taking care of this service. But everyone keep praying and let's look to the Lord. And I'm sure He'll lead us and guide us and direct us in finding a new pastor. I do want you to pray for me. Continue to pray for me. I know you have been praying for me. And I want to thank you for your prayers. I wouldn't want anybody else to go through what I've been through. But I'm so glad and thankful today that I'm gaining my strength back. And hopefully the Lord will give me a few more years to preach. I'd love to, you know. I would love to continue to serve the Lord, whatever He has in store for me. I want to read a passage of Scripture to be found in the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke. This took place about a week before the Lord Jesus was crucified. And I don't know if the other disciples remembered that the Passover was near at hand. Perhaps they did. But Jesus remembered. And he said to his disciples, and I'm going to read this in just a few moments. He said, "But with desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." This Passover had been observed for over 4,000 years. And, well, maybe not that long. I may not be correct in the length of time. But since the days of Moses, I forgot exactly how many years it was between Moses and the Lord Jesus. But it had been hundreds of years, even thousands of years. And this Passover had been observed. And God commanded them to observe it as a memorial of a great deliverance that he provided for them. They were slaves and in bondage down in Egypt. And their lives were hard. And they began to cry out to God because of their afflictions. And so God sent Moses down and he delivered them. He led them out. And just before they embarked out of the country of Egypt, Moses would go before Pharaoh and he said, God says, let my people go. And Pharaoh would say, I don't know God. And he said, I'm not going to let them go. And so God sent these plagues. And the last plague he sent was the death of the firstborn in the land of Egypt. But God told Moses and the children of Israel for them to kill a lamb. Put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and the lintel of the door. And when the death angel comes through, I'll see the blood. And I'll pass over you. They did what he told them to do. When the death angel came through, there was death in every house except the one where the blood had been applied. And then he told them, said, you observe this every year. Don't you forget about this great deliverance that I provided for you. And so every year they observed in memory of that great deliverance, the Passover. And of course that Passover was, he passed over them and they were, the death angel did not visit their homes. And the Lord Jesus, he remembered that. So I'm going to start reading with verse 1. And I'm not going to be very lengthy today, I don't think. I don't intend to be. But Luke 22 and verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought out how they might kill him, that is, kill Jesus. For they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how that he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. I'm going to do it in secret. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, wherewith thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he said, and he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more thereof. I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and he gave thanks. And he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And I'm going to stop right there. And all of this that I have read was in reference to the Passover Supper. One of the things that I wanted to discuss with you just for a few moments. You know, Jesus said, I have desired to eat this Passover. This Passover meal was the last official and scriptural Passover that was observed, because it was fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. They killed a lamb, and they shed its blood, and they applied that blood to each household where they lived. And that had been followed all of these years. But that was the Passover from Egypt, the physical deliverance from bondage in Israel. But the Lord Jesus, he is the Lamb of God. He's the Lamb of God that takes away sin. And so the Lord Jesus, the next week, he was taken to the cross of Calvary. They took him through the streets of Jerusalem, the Via Dolorosa. And he bore his own cross at least part of the way. And when he became so weak that he couldn't bear it any longer physically, Simon was compelled to bear his cross for him. And Jesus was crucified, the Lamb of God. He is the one who takes away sin, you know. So he said, I have desired to eat this Passover. Jesus knew what was before him. He knew he was going to suffer. I don't know how much time you've spent thinking about the sufferings of Christ. We look back. Now that's probably been 5,000 or 6,000 years since that took place. And we read in the scripture about it, you know, and that seems so far removed from us. It's been about 2,000 years since Jesus died on the cross. And that's somewhat removed from us as well. I thought about when we take pictures, you know, we take a landscape picture. And with the modern technology and the photography that we have today, you know, you can have a landscape picture on your phone or your iPad or on your computer. You can push a button and it'll jump right up in your face, you know. That landscape picture, it may be beautiful, but it don't show the details. But when you bring it up close and you look at it close up, you see a lot of things that otherwise you don't see. And I think that it's been so long since this took place. So many years have passed by. Perhaps we don't think about the sufferings of Jesus as much as we should. I wondered if Jesus maybe was not thinking about Isaiah chapter 53. You all will have to excuse me. My emotions are a little bit tender as well, I guess, after having been sick and everything. But this gets close to my heart. In the book of Isaiah, I'm going to do a little more reading. This is about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. Jesus. the prophet had been prophesying concerning the Lord bearing his holy arm. Bringing salvation to God's people. Said, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and the ends of the earth shall see it, see the salvation of the Lord. But you know, they didn't believe that, because the question is asked in the 53rd chapter and verse 1, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. I guess that's some of the excuses for them not believing the report that God gave. But he is, he said, he is despised and rejected of men. Now, I'm going to read about the sufferings of Jesus. Jesus said, I've been great desire. I've desired to eat this supper. It's the last one before I suffer. And he said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Wonder how much value we put on what the Lord Jesus went through, what he bore for us. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. You know, we talk about Jesus being crucified and the Romans nailing him to the cross. But you know, this was an act of God. God gave his only begotten Son. He was smitten of God. He did all of this suffering in our behalf. And so it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as the sheep before shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of the people, he was stricken. See, it wasn't because of anything that he had done. It was because of our sins. He went through all of this suffering and this agony, even the crucifixion, and he done it in our behalf. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was in him deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. I told you this was the act of God. God provided our salvation. God loved us enough that he put his perfect Son through all of this agony for us. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. You know why he did that? Because we couldn't save ourselves. We were sinners. We all, like sheep, had gone astray, turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, the Bible said that he bore our sins in his body on the cross. So it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And that's having reference to his resurrection. He did prolong his days. They killed him. They buried him in the tomb. They sealed it. They made it as secure as they possibly could. But Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter preaching at Pentecost said, but it wasn't possible for death to hold him. Just as he had foretold. And I'm going to use that word foretold rather than predict. You know, a prediction might come true and it might not. But he foretold. He said, we're going up to Jerusalem. And they're going to kill me. They're going to crucify me. But on the third day, I'm going to rise from the dead. And so, you know, the Apostle Paul, in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he connected the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus with his second coming. He said, I may have to turn there and look at it. But he said, as often as you drink this drink and eat this bread, you do show forth the Lord's death until he comes. Jesus is coming again. He died for our sins, but he rose for our justification. And I wonder how near his coming may be. As we look around us and we see all the horrible things that are taking place, you know, it reminds us of what the Bible says about the last days and the things that will come. So let me read the rest of this. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. You know, I think that Jesus, as he looked upon his sufferings and his death, and then he looks at all of those who have been born again, all of those people who have been saved as a result of his death on the cross. And I have the opinion that he says, it was worth it. It was worth it. You see, we are the offspring of God. And Jesus, he did redeem us from our sins, didn't he? He paid the price so that we could have eternal life. And he said, he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I'll divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and bare the sins of many, and made intercessions for the transgressors. That's one point I wanted to make, was I wanted to bring the sufferings of Christ up close, into focus. I think a lot of people think that it's not all that important. You know, I know of people that say, well, I'm not going to church today because they're going to take the Lord's Supper. You know, I just can't understand that. I just can't understand that. But you know what? God, the Lord Jesus commanded it. You know, the Lord's Supper, if we could just get a view of the sanctity of the supper, how sacred it is. It is a sacred thing commanded by the Lord Jesus, the one that died to save us from our sins. And of course, we know here today that partaking of the Lord's Supper don't save your soul. We all know that, don't we? We all know that. This is a commemoration. This is a memorial. Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." This do in remembrance of me. As I was studying and thinking about this, I thought about, wonder how many of us, you know, draw near to God at a time like this. And we bring His sufferings and His death up close and in the full view before us. And we, with grateful and thankful hearts, you know, remember it was for me that He died. I believe that the Bible teaches us that the Lord's Supper is a sacred thing. A sacred thing. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, the 5th chapter of 1 Corinthians, you know, about the man that had committed fornication with his father's wife. And so Paul, he was instructing the church about what they needed to do about that. So I'm not going to take a lot of time on that, but I just want to get this verse of Scripture. Now he said, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that it may be a new lump. For ye are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." I think that makes the Lord's Supper, you know, a very, very special thing. I also wanted to notice another passage of Scripture, and I'm going to be done. In the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul, he called the cup which we bless, he called it the cup of blessing. The cup of blessing. Do you realize how many blessings are ours because of what this represents? Jesus dying on the cross, taking our place. If He had not died for us, we would ever one died for our own sin. If He had not died for us, we would every one spend an eternity in the damnation of hell. The Lord's Supper is a very sacred event where we remember, and when we draw close to Him and we do it in sincerity and in truth. And the Bible said, "Let every man examine himself and then let him eat," you know. If there's anything between you and the Lord, you need to get rid of it this morning. You really do. I like that old song, "There's nothing between my soul and the Savior." I'm not that way all the time, you know. But it sure is good when you can, you know, just draw near to the Lord. And you can bask in the sunlight of His love. Let me read this verse. "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" Communion. Communion, that speaks of a relationship. You know, we have a relationship with Jesus. You know that? Jesus, God is our Father because we've been born into God's family. Jesus is our brother because Jesus is the Son of God. And when you've been born again of the Spirit of God, you are a child of God. Child of God. So we have communion. As we take today, I want you to draw near to the Lord Jesus. But I want you also to do something else. I want you to think about your brothers and sisters. Because we have brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we have communion with them. And we have fellowship with them because of the cup of blessing. If it had not been for the cup of blessing, the death of the Lord Jesus, the shedding of His blood, and the giving of His body, we would not be brothers and sisters in the Lord. We'd not have fellowship with one another. We'd not be related at all. But it says, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body and of Christ? Now, verse 17. For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of the one bread. You see the communion? If you got saved, you got saved the same way I did. And so, he said, for we are all partakers of the one bread. I pray God will bless the message today. I know it's pretty weak. I know. But I want you to know I love Jesus. I'm so thankful that I've had the opportunity to serve Him. It's a blessing to serve the Lord. It's worth it, as Jesus said concerning His death on the cross. He said it's worth it. Look what the results of it is. And so today, the Lord, He has been so good to me. So good to me. I'm going to ask Brother Strode to lead us in a song. I'm going to ask everybody to stand. And then we will proceed in the administering of the Lord's Supper. Brother Strode. Stay.